This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
So we talk about the stock market. Kind of a wild day. It was up on some rumors that the tariffs would be paused, and then it was down. It was way down, but then it didn't finish super way down. Down 349, the NASDAQ was up. Here's President Trump.
Would you be open to a pause in tariffs to allow for negotiations?
Well, we're not looking at that. We have many, many countries that are coming to negotiate deals with us, and they're going to be fair deals, and in certain cases, they're going to be paying substantial tariffs. There'll be fair deals.
The president also says, stop being weak and stupid. Don't be a panickin. He says the United States has a chance to do something that should have been done decades ago. Don't be a panickin. A new party based on weak and stupid people. That's what he said. Our friend Batyankar Sargon is back with us. She writes at the Free Press. She's got a book called Bad News, How Woke Media is Undermining Democracy. Her new book is called Second Class, How the Elites Betrayed Americans, Working Men and Women. And she might be the hottest person in media right now, drawing all kinds of attention. How are you, Bachi, this afternoon? You are on fire. Fred and I both agreed last week. En fuego. No doubt about it.
Mark, are you a panickin?
I will say that I have been a little bit of a panickin, if I have to admit to the audience. They heard some of this, and I just, some of it is hard to understand. Some of it's hard to digest. Some of it's just, you know, keeping myself from looking at the 401k, but a bit of a panic, and I'll just put myself into the small panickin category.
Lowercase panickin.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, I think some of this, let me sum it up this way, because I did have someone that, you know, texted me and, you know, not a super partisan type of person that just said basically, this was the message. Not trying to sound like a pessimist or, I guess, a panickin, and maybe because I'm not paying as much attention with the news, but Trump said before he got elected that prices would go down on goods, and if anything, it seems like these tariffs he's imposing are just pissing them off more and prices are going up. What's the deal? And that's kind of a representative text from a lot of Americans right now. I think they'd say some of the same things. My advice would be, okay, need a little patience, right?
You know, there's a really big difference between like the price of eggs or beef or chicken going up and the price of like an iPhone going up, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we act like everything is the same, but it's not the same. We actually produce the vast majority of the food that we make here, and gas prices are going down. So, you know, the elites have gotten very used to being able to order a new flat screen TV every year. And I would argue that regular people have gotten used to having to order, you know, a new washing machine every 5 years because they break. But, you know, my grandparents had their refrigerator for the entire lifespan that I knew them.
These things are true. You know this. If you've had any kind of appliance repairman in your home in the last 10 to 15 years, they'll tell you exactly what it's like. They, you know, these things would last forever, and they just simply don't anymore.
Exactly, because they used to be made here by American workers, and consumers are very nimble. The people who are not nimble are the people at the top who are, like, wildly wealthy. I mean, that's the other thing that's so frustrating about this is like, you know, yeah, there are some Americans who are middle class who are worried about their 401ks. I would tell them just to wait, you know, like just wait it out because it is going to get better. Like it's definitely going to get better. But a lot of the rage and anger is coming from gazillionaires who are losing a lot of money. But let's be honest, they'll never be poor. In fact, they'll never not be rich. They just cannot stand that there is a president in office who is not on his knees calling them and asking them what he's allowed to do, because that has been the norm in this country for the last 60 years as our economy became an upward funnel of wealth from the hardest working Americans, the middle class and the working class, into the pockets of the asset rich, people who own stocks and who own real estate. And I mean, that's the whole story here is Trump is saying he took on the entire international global economic world order and said, sorry, your fleecing of the American working class is over. It ends here. I mean, this is the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life. I wouldn't, if you told me this was going to happen a month ago, I wouldn't have believed you.
And you would also, I know you lectured some folks last week. Look, if you voted for economic change, it's not like he didn't promise these things, right?
Yeah, he talked about tariffs at every single rally that he went to. I mean, he's like, nothing if not consistent, you know? And yeah, there are a bunch of people like Elon Musk who got on the train for other things that they liked. Trump is not in the pocket of the oligarchs. And I really hope that Liberation Day can put finally to rest the myth that Donald Trump exists to service rich people like himself, because that's who's howling the loudest. And the Democrats know this. They know this because you know how you know they know this? They will not admit why he's doing it. It's the why. You will never hear a Democrat say he's doing it because X. And the reason is because the reason he's doing it is because he is actually doing what they have been pretending that they stand for the last 40 years, which is the working class. They don't. This is what standing for the working class looks like.
Isn't it amazing how out of touch they have become when it comes to the working class? Look, someone like you, you've been talking about this for years now, but even in the aftermath of the election, I guess I would have assumed that there would be a little bit more attention to what happened and the real causes of what, you know, put Trump into office maybe both times. But they're so out of touch with where their base used to be.
So out of touch. So out of touch. And this is why they really hate him, because Donald Trump purloined their entire working class base by simply doing what they used to do. Like, it's not rocket science, you know? Working class Americans are deeply tolerant. They're social moderates. They want an America first foreign policy. They're anti-war, and they want an economy that delivers for everybody. And I will just say to people who are freaking out about this, like, it's so wrong, because it's not like he's only doing tariffs and controlling the border. He's also doing a whole bunch of stuff designed for the business community, right? Deregulation, drill, baby, drill, dropping the corporate tax rates, tax cuts. Like, he's combining this intense protectionism of the working class with all of these pro-business goodies. Like, just wait a minute. Just let the man do the thing. And they won't. They won't wait,
yeah.
Because
well,
they
this is a great point.
Stand that regular people are going to benefit as well as them. They can't stand it. It has to be only them.
Well, I agree with you that a lot of that is going on right now. But let me ask this question, because I'm curious about your answer. Look, I've been talking about the manufacturing base in this country disappearing for a long time, and it's been really kind of disappearing since the 1960s when I was born. So I understand the goals here. I think a lot of people are frustrated by what's happened to our economy. But if we're being honest, I think you would agree, we're not going to rebuild the manufacturing base in this country over the course of just a couple of years. I mean, it literally may take decades. And then even then, I just wonder how much of those products that we used to make here can actually be made here, given the fact that we're all kind of conditioned to buy cheap stuff at Walmart, etc.
I don't know. I think that those habits can change really quickly. I mean, we all know that we're buying too much crap from China on Amazon. Like, we all know that. Like, there are certain things you can't live without that you actually need. And then there's a whole bunch of stuff that you don't actually need. You know what you need? A house. And you know how you get working class people to own houses is by reshoring manufacturing and giving them good jobs in steel and aluminum and lumber and microchips and pharmaceuticals. all of that manufacturing is still being done. It's just being done in other countries for slave wages. And the idea that we should just accept that because we've gotten used to it, I think that's crazy. We would never say that about the open border. Well, we got used to having all these illegals around to do, like, you know, low-wage labor, so we can never close the border because, my God, like, who's going to clean hotel rooms in New York City? We would never accept that logic that because a mistake was made, therefore we can never reverse it. And what's so frustrating, Mark, is we all agree about what the mistake was. It was the offshoring of manufacturing.
Yeah, well, that's true. By the way, you kind of walked me into our favorite soundbite from after the election. This was on CNN. Sue and I love this.
I can't wait until American women can't get blueberries for their smoothies.
That was an actual person. We didn't even manipulate the voice, Batya. I don't know who she was, but wow. That was, you know, that was one of the panic moments when it came to the border. Oh, we're going to close the border. And by the way, wasn't it a miracle that that thing was shut down? I mean, even the LA Times had to admit last week that there's nobody coming across some of these sectors where we had thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions crossing before. And he did it without having this bill that was supposedly needed to be passed last year, right?
There's not a single industry in America that is done by a majority illegal migrant labor, and that includes agriculture. The majority of people, it's a slim majority, 52% of people working in agriculture are American citizens, okay? So every time some leftist says, but who's going to pick the crops and who's going to clean the toilets, or what Jasmine Crockett said the other day, you don't want your kids to go into hospitality. They are insulting millions of Americans. It's disgusting. And it's millions of Americans who are working much harder than them, but yeah, can't afford to buy a home because rich elites with their quote unquote expertise created an economy in which they would have a fraction of the competition in the housing market because working class people can no longer afford to compete. That is the whole story right there.
Yeah, it's awful, too. And, you know, one of the things, maybe one of the benefits here, especially if we do slip a little bit more into a recession, is interest rates are going to come down. So that might be a little bit easier for folks to get into the home market, but that's still going to be a challenge with supply and demand.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
And you just have to, I agree with you, that's a really good point. But I mean, can we just stop and admire like the courage here of the president actually, like we can all agree why he's doing it, right? There's only one reason he's doing it. He thinks it will make working class people richer. That's the only explanation for why he's doing it. Like, and I just the idea that a president, a Republican, would take on the rich elites and say, it's time for your neighbors to see a little of the prosperity that you've been hoarding. I just think that is like the most admirable thing I've ever seen.
But you would also, you'd have to admit, look, I don't know. I think people, and you know that this is an instant disadvantage because the legacy media is not going to give him any credit whatsoever. But, you know, as things start to unfurl, and I don't know, maybe things turn in the other direction, then they're going to be really challenged. But if you have the economy dipping, if things are going in a negative direction, they're going to beat the crap out of him. It's going to all be Trump's fault, everything that happens in the economy from here on out.
Yeah, but I think he can take it. I mean, there's no way in my mind that Trump leaves office and the economy is worse off than when he inherited it. He will not accept that.
Yeah,
and this
I agree.
Is a person who just comes up with solutions, right? He'll find another way. He's not going to allow that to happen. Like, yeah, if the tariffs don't work in a year, he'll get rid of them and try something else.
Well, I kind of agree with that, that, you know, this isn't a guy that wants to leave the White House with a legacy that did anything but strengthen the American economy. So I'm with you on that, and I hope that's true. It's just a matter of one of the difficulties here, Badia, is I think it's just so difficult to understand everything, and these tariffs are so complicated. One of the issues that I flagged earlier, and I don't know what the answer is for this, but when we say reciprocal tariffs, there a lot of these, they don't look reciprocal. They look like we're charging more than they are at this point. Now, some of that maybe is a situation that needs to be worked out, but that's where some of the math gets funky to me.
Okay, I don't like predicting because I'm often wrong about things, but here's my prediction about that. This is the Peter Navarro addition to it. I think before Trump never really talked about, I think throughout Trump's life, he didn't really believe the debt ceiling was real. He doesn't really believe that it's real as a businessman. I think he thinks it's sort of a silly thing to worry about. But I think Peter Navarro started to tell him, look, you can use the tariffs to generate revenue and that will close the deficit. And I think he's using that to get through the reconciliation bill and to get on the other side of that tax cut, at which point, like, he will stop using that rationale specifically and go back to sort of the idea that we should have just a fairer tariff. That's
I think you're right about
prediction.
That. Absolutely. Absolutely. And look, if this somehow works where you reduce the deficit and this is the revenue that is coming in, well, that's historic.
Right.
We'll see. Keep on him, Batya. Keep on him. All right.
I will. God bless you. Thanks for having me.
We'll see you. She's great. On fire. And she's, you know, being consistent, which a lot of other people, including the panicking at the microphone, might not be. This is interesting just before we get to some city stuff, because the mayor's race is coming up tomorrow. And the comptroller, Jeff Rainford, who was on the roundtable last week, is going to join us for a little bit of a takedown. We're going to talk about the future of the city and what that really might hold with Kara Spencer as well. But this was in the Federalist over the weekend. And I kind of addressed this issue maybe not last week, but the week before, because a lot of us think to ourselves, you know, and I can put myself in this position, the people that are being most hateful right now are the people on the left. Look what they're doing to even Tesla owners that may or may not. You have Tesla owners out there that probably hate Elon Musk. They probably hate Donald Trump, right? Mm-hmm. But they're being attacked as Nazis because they happen to purchase a vehicle from one of the most successful American companies maybe in history. But the Federalist kind of reported this, that there was a report that was produced by something called the Network of Contagion Research, NCRI, which is kind of an interesting name. And they did this with Rutgers University. And they found that broader, what they referred to as assassination culture, appears to be emerging within segments of the U.S. public, not on the right, on the extreme left, which is kind of funny because, you know, they wanted to tell us for years that the biggest threat in this country was white supremacists. Well, apparently it is. It's white supremacist lefties who hate Donald Trump. And they really, I think they hate this country as well. But what they're saying in this study is less than a year after, like, real assassination attempts on Trump, there's a lot of people on the left that say, you know what, it's okay if Trump's taken out. And what they say in the study is these attitudes are not fringe. They reflect an emergent assassination culture grounded in a far-left authoritarianism and increasingly normalized in digital discourse. The report is called Assassination Culture: How Burning Teslas and Killing Billionaires Became a Meme Aesthetic for Political Violence. Jeez. Now, to me, Sue, this would be the type of story that the LA Times should cover, that the New York Times should cover, that the Washington Post should cover. They should put their lefties into sharp focus here. But they're not doing that story. It's the Federalist, right? So it's not a situation where this is even going to get a lot of coverage. They note there's a lot of things that I didn't know this. Do you know that they have a ballot measure that is named in California here? Oh, my gosh. I can't. It's named the Luigi Mangione Access to Healthcare Act.
I can't even.
Are you kidding me? So lawmakers in California thought it was a good idea to name a healthcare act after an assassin, right?
That's great.
That's awesome. On Friday, a California man. Oh, I don't know if we talked about this. I saw the video, though. He was angry with pharmacies. This, I think, was the week before. Was arrested on charges of murdering a Walgreens employee just days after the Luigi Mangione Act was filed with the state of California. Eric Velasquez, the victim, was not a pharmacist, and it was a respected husband and father of two. And this guy goes in. Did you see the video for this one?
It didn't.
He goes into the Walgreens. He kind of waves at the camera when he's going in. He goes and kills the dude, comes back, basically takes a victory lamp, shoots the camera out. So then, you know, the camera is dead. But some of the numbers that are in this particular study are more than a little troubling. Murder justification, 31% and 38% of respondents stated that it would be at least somewhat justified to murder Elon Musk and President Trump. The effects were largely driven by respondents that self-identified as left of center, with 48 and 55% at least being somewhat justifying, or at least somewhat justifying, murder for Elon Musk and President Trump, respectively, indicating significantly higher justification for violence against these figures. Property discretion. This shouldn't surprise you, because we've seen what's happened here and in Minneapolis, et cetera. 40% of the respondents, 39.8, stated that it is at least somewhat acceptable to destroy a Tesla dealership in protest.
Come on.
That's 40%. If our side had 40 to 50% that were cheering on violence, look, you can even look at January 6th. A lot of people on the Republican side aren't justifying that at all, including me. 40% of lefties think it's okay to destroy a car dealership in protest. Psychological, ideological correlations with the assassination culture. These beliefs, according to the report, are highly correlated with another, as well as with the justification of murder of, you know, the United Healthcare CFO. This suggests that support for violence is part of a broader assassination culture underpinned by psychological and ideological factors. Now, a lot of these times you would find that some of these studies are blah, 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 but my goodness. You know, they looked in here. They found that users are increasingly tying the memification of Mangione with calls for political violence against Trump and Elon Musk. They say that that reflects the growing cyber social presence of assassination culture. I mean, if we're being honest, there's a lot of people out there that have no hesitation whatsoever encouraging death and destruction on Trump and Elon Musk. And it's quite stunning. But again, in a fair media world, you'd have other outlets outside of the Federalist reporting on this horror.
Get more at 971talk.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.